You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, Coast to Coast. I am your host, Rick Franzi, and I host this business talk show, which airs live on Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, possibly off of Apple iTunes or one of the other podcasting services that we use, I want to say thank you for making the show a part of your day. I would also encourage you to consider listening to the show live during our broadcast times, heard exclusively here on octalkradio.net. The goal for the show is to help you, our listening audience, make better decisions. And we do that by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives from around the country who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring our show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. To learn more about Smart Business Magazine, visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. Critical Mass Coast to Coast is brought to you through a partnership of Critical Mass for Business with Executive Forums business owners in select markets across the U.S. International organization committed to helping members take their business to the next level. If you'd like to learn more about CEO peer groups, I would suggest you check out our website, www.executiveforums.com. We have two guests today here on Critical Mass, the Coast to Coast. The first one is Russ Siegler of Siegler Wholesale Distributors. Russ, welcome to the program.
Howdy.
Why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about your firm?
All right. Well, how about me telling you a little bit about the background as to how I got in started on this?
Sounds good to me.
Good. Well, I'm first place, I'm one of these lucky guys. Things, just good things always happen to me. I grew up during the Great Depression when everybody was poor. Was just lucky to get to go to college. It was one of those quirks that happened. And when I was in college, I went to the University of Oklahoma, and it's a land-grant college, and as such, it had to have an ROTC program, which I participated in. In 1937, I was studying to be a mechanical engineer, and one of the professors says to me, he says, Russ, I think you ought to take this job, this course I'm going to teach in air conditioning. It's not much now, but I think someday it might amount to something. Well, I took the course, and when I graduated in 1938 as a mechanical engineer, there's no jobs in the air conditioning business. I got a commission as a second lieutenant in the Army Reserve, which was a lucky thing for me also. I worked in the oil fields until the spring of 1941, at which time I was called into the service before the World War II started. And I was always lucky. Just before, on December the 7th, the day of Pearl Harbor, I got my orders to go overseas. I spent 3 years overseas in the Pacific War Zone. Never got hurt. Always in the right spot at the right time to get promoted. So I'm a lucky guy. When I came back, I went back to the University of Oklahoma looking for a job. And fortunate for me, another lucky thing was that Carrier Air Conditioning Company was there recruiting young engineers. Well, I wasn't a young engineer anymore, but they took me. And I worked for Carrier for 3 or 4 years, went through their engineering school and so forth, and worked for them in Syracuse, New York, Cleveland, Ohio, Houston, Texas. And then I quit and went to work for a small company in Shreveport, Louisiana, as an engineer and a salesman. In 1950, an opportunity came for me to get a Carrier franchise in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I jumped at it, and that's where I started. At that time, Carrier didn't have a distributor. Didn't have distributors. They sold direct to from the factory to the contractor. And I was an air conditioning contractor. I had a sheet metal shop, a pipe shop, a service department. I sold retail. And I loved the contracting business. I really did a lot of interesting, some little jobs, a lot of big jobs. And I did that until 1958, when Carrier decided that the business had grown large enough to support distributors. And I became a Carrier distributor. I couldn't do both, so I gave up the contracting business and became a distributor for Carrier for Oklahoma, Tulsa, and Eastern Oklahoma. Another guy by the name of Swan became the distributor for Oklahoma City and Western Oklahoma, and we started a business called Swan Sigler, and we're the distributor for Carrier Air Conditioning in the state of Oklahoma. I always wanted to get bigger, so in a few years I moved on to Lubbock and Amarillo and started a business there, started a distributorship there, which he and I owned. He stayed in Oklahoma, and I ran that. A few years after that, I moved on to Albuquerque and El Paso and repeated my operation and so forth. Then in 1970, he and I had a friendly split up. He kept the Oklahoma business. I kept the West Texas, New Mexico business. And at the same time, came into Phoenix and got control of the air conditioning distributorship here in Phoenix, Tucson, and Las Vegas. And that's basically where this company started, as it is at the time being. The first year I was in business, well, we did $8 million worth of business. After that, we just kept growing and getting a little bigger and a little bigger and so forth. And eventually I got control of the business in Idaho, and a couple years ago I got control of the business in all of California. So at the present time, I have 30 different warehouses and branches scattered from El Paso all through California, New Mexico, Arizona. And that's where we are. We're a wholesale distributor of Carrier air conditioning parts and supplies and all the related equipment that a contractor needs to put in an air conditioning job, from the size of a room air conditioner to the biggest job there is.
So you
so much
working
for the background.
Oh, that's a very interesting background, and Carrier Corporation for 60 plus years.
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Rick. Go ahead.
I said that means you've been affiliated with Carrier for 60 years? I said, Russ, does that mean you've been affiliated with Carrier for 60 years then?
Yes. I've been selling Carrier equipment for 61 years.
That's fantastic. That's amazing.
I learned some things from being in business 61 years. I think in order to have a successful company, I think you got to have three things. I think you got to have capital. I think you got to have, it doesn't matter whether you're a small company or a great big company. If you're just a small little one-man service company, you still got to have enough capital to buy a truck and get some tools and do some work, collect some money to keep going. If you were like Howard Hughes was, who was a big guy when I was getting started, he had to have lots of capital to take care of all those airplanes that he used in the TWA Airlines. So first thing, if you're in business, I think you got to have some capital. Second thing I think you have to have if you're going to be in business is a product or a service that is beneficial for your customer. You got to give him his money's worth. You got to something of value to him. And the third thing I think it's necessary if you're going to have a successful company and build it, I think you got to have good, well-trained employees. They got to know what they're talking about. They got to be educated. And to me, of the three things that are necessary to have a successful business, I think employees is the most important thing, and Jesus, I've really been lucky through the years. I've had a lot of good people who worked with me and still have.
Russ, what's the longest length of employee has worked with you? How many years have you had an employee working
with
you?
I've got some that have been 35 years. Yeah, I don't. All of my senior executives have been with me for at least 20 years. But also, we've got about 600 employees now, so we're constantly bringing on new people, and we got a good second layer of top management that's in training and doing a good job and so forth.
Right.
And we always try to promote from within. We try to educate the people what the way we want them to do business. And I've been lucky in getting a lot of good people out of the universities.
Russ, we're going to take a sponsorship
break. I can't hear you.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plans and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn more about our executive peer group.
Welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. This is your host, Rick Franzi. My guest is Russ Sigler. Russ, would you tell us about your guiding principle that you use to run your firm?
Yeah, I think there's several things that I think are important. I think the first thing I say is fairness and honesty with both your customers and your employees. I think that's absolutely necessary to be above board and be fair and treat everybody with respect. And I don't think you can grow a business unless you do those things. I think the second thing is that stay away from crooks. There's always somebody coming along and got a deal for you and so forth, and there's no way you can outsmart a crook. If somebody comes to you with a deal that sounds too good to be true, it probably is, so stay away from him because he'll outsmart you every time. I'd say the third thing that I think is kind of my guiding principles is that I've always heard the customer is always right. The customer is always right. Well, I don't necessarily believe that. I think if you've got a customer and there's just no way you can satisfy him, he keeps beating up on you, nothing you can do is to make him happy, and he insults your employees and he badgers them all around, get rid of him. He's not going to change. That's just the way he's going to be. And if you do another job with him, you'll have the same experience. So I don't believe that the customer's always right. If he's no good, get rid of him. Get another customer. I think another thing that's important is good accounting and controls for your business. In the many years that I've been in business, most of the people that I've lost business, that I've lost business money on, are people who've gone bankrupt. And almost in every case, they didn't have a good bookkeeping system. They didn't have a good accounting system. They didn't know what their costs were. And that's the reason they got in trouble, not because they didn't have a good product or were good salesmen. I think another thing that's important is products and services are important, and they're necessary. But the most important thing in selling is a personal relationship between the salesman and the customer. And that's what we try to build with our salespeople, for them to get close to their customers and know them and be all really good friends with them. I think also another thing is that business is constantly changing. And we all must continuously, those of us in business, we've got to continuously educate ourselves or herself and keep educating our employees. Things keep changing, so we got to stay alert and keep learning all your life. Another thing that I think is important is expenses. They keep growing up. Someone, you got to have somebody around that's always looking out where your money's going. The last thing I think probably is most important is a positive attitude. Try to always find something that's good about a situation instead of something that's bad. Be happy. It sure makes life a lot easier. And always set up some kind of goals and look towards them. And it's very important that you do the kind of work you want to do. If you don't like what you're doing, get the heck out and get to do something else. But if you love what you're doing, you're going to be a success. That's kind of my theory on life, Rick.
Those are very good theories and points.
I'm sorry, Rick, I can't hear you.
Well, good points. Thank you for sharing them.
You're welcome.
Russ, one final question today.
Okay.
And I've got to ask you, what is your goals for the future, for yourself and for your business?
Well, for myself, is to maintain my health. For the business, sitting across from my, on the wall across from my desk, and I'm looking at it right now, there's a banner that I had put up quite some time ago. And this banner has kind of got a bunch of dollar bills or $100 bills, pictures of them all around it. And this is what it says. In 2017, we are going to do $1 billion in sales.
Wow.
That's it.
That's huge. That's a lot of money.
Well, some people say, yeah, Russ, that's too big a goal, but it's not too big a goal. I think we'll do it. In 2017, I will be 100 years old. Now, whether I'm still sitting in this desk or somebody else is in there, that's the goal of the company.
That is one of the greatest things I've ever heard in all the years I've done the show. That is the greatest thing I've ever heard, Russ.
Well, that's nice of you to say. I'd like to meet you sometime, Rick. As you can tell, I'm one of these optimistic guys. Heck, good things happen. Good things happen. And you got to be alert. And when an opportunity comes along, decide is it good or bad. If it's good, jump on it and keep going. I've been a lucky guy, but I've been a very, very happy guy all my life, and so it's an attitude.
You're
Come
amazing.
To see me sometime, Rick.
I would love to meet you. You're amazing.
I would just like to say thank you for being on our radio program today.
Okay, appreciate it.
Goodbye.
Can I add one more thing, Russ?
Yeah.
I'd love to book you back when you're 100 years old.
Do it.
So we're going to have that date. In 2017, you're booked on this show, so just circle that.
Okay, I'll be around.
I have no doubt you will. My dad was born in 1920. He's 3 years younger than you are, and he's still going strong too at 92. So I think there's something in the water or in that generation.
Yeah, they say it's a great generation, you know.
You were the greatest generation. So we've definitely got a date, right? You're going to be back in 2017 and tell us your plan for the next 10 years.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for being on.
Righto. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to bring on and get ready for our second guest today. Our second guest is Shane Pulver, and we're going to be talking with him. He's the senior partner of Abacus Solutions Group, or ASG. So hang around for our second guest here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
There's something happening out there today. All across America, we're seeing encouraging signs of economic recovery. Businesses are once again thinking about new growth, and new opportunities are emerging. But it raises the question, is your company positioned to take full advantage of the economic recovery and the opportunities it presents? Maybe it's time to ask, how has the recession impacted your business model? Is your business as relevant as it once was? Should you consider entering new markets or expanding into new categories? And what do customers really value about their relationship with you? The golden thread through all these questions and the answer to each and every one of them can be found in just one place. Your brand. It's much deeper than your logo and much bigger than your advertising. Your brand is the enabler of your entire business strategy. Rikus Baird is a brand strategy firm that can help. They specialize in business branding. They've helped hundreds of companies from startups to Fortune 500 leverage their brands to drive growth. They can do the same for yours. It's really quite simple. Find out more, just visit brandingbusiness.com. That's www.brandingbusiness.com. And plant the seed for economic growth.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plan and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. and learn more about our executive peer group.
Large companies with complex sales channels have sophisticated lead management needs. They require customized lead management systems and services and integration with additional systems. That's why, since 1981, these companies have relied on SmartLead by AdTrack, the only full-service lead management company with customized systems for lead management, Salesforce automation, and analytics. These systems are managed by each client's dedicated account manager, and are integrated with SmartLead's in-house marketing services that include a contact center, email marketing services, print services, direct mail and fulfillment, and an ISO-certified warehouse. SmartLead by AdTrack. 3 decades of pioneering lead management best practices and systems for complex lead management needs. For more information, visit our website at smartlead.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass Coast to Coast. I am your host. As we promised, our second guest is ready to be on the program. Shane, welcome to Critical Mass Coast to Coast.
Thank you very much.
Why don't we begin by asking you to tell us a little bit about Abacus, your business?
Abacus, we go by ASG, and we are a service-disabled, veteran, woman-owned government contractor, and we provide information technology and advisory services to the United States Department of Defense, and our services range from help desk support services all the way up to enterprise engineering and operations.
So tell me, how did you start this business? What was the inspiration?
You know, for about a decade prior, I was in corporate consulting, mostly professional services in the accounting, finance, and technology arenas for medium to large corporations. And in 2005, I got together with a former business associate, and we decided that we could do what we did in the commercial world, technology consulting services, and we felt like we could do it for the federal government. We applied kind of the same results-driven services concept and business practices to create ASG and deliver those services to federal customers and industry partners. And we were sort of naive enough in 2005 to believe that we could start a government contracting business without the benefit of being retired military or having any existing relationships in the industry. And we started in 2005 with three of us, and today we have over 150 employees in 8 states.
I find that very interesting because I too would have said, boy, you must have a military background, and this was just a logical way to keep your relationships going and create a business after you exited the military. Interesting.
I am prior service, but it was late 80s, early 90s, so not anywhere near 2005.
Okay. Well, tell us what makes your firm, ASG, different. How are you differentiated in what you offer?
Well, there's a couple of things that I think really make us unique. The first one is that we've really developed a unique ability to find and hire the top talent in our industry. In the technology sector of government contracting, oftentimes difficult to find certifications, clearances, and skill sets are required to execute our missions. And we've become known in our industry as a company that can find the folks to meet that mission. And we really do it by focusing on our niche. We've built a recruiting team that has been in the same chair, in the same office, in the same industry for over 6 years. And you know, oftentimes recruiting is really lumped into a human resources function and considered really an administrative function. And we treat recruiting as a key business capability and a revenue-generating function of the business. Our professional recruiting staff is rewarded and compensated for production, and it's really created a proactive and professional team that pursues top talent, not a low-paid HR function that posts jobs on the boards and waits for responses. So we really find this to be unique in our industry and a definite differentiator. And you hear a lot about people using social media, but we've actually had some really great results with it. Just as a small example, a person can go to our website, go to our career page, and instantly chat with someone from our recruiting team. And we've actually hired a handful of people this year that weren't sure they were looking, but got the instant feedback that made them choose Abacus as their next career move.
I'm on your website, and I found that page, and you tell the truth. I can see how you can chat with an ASG recruiter.
Yeah.
Tell us about your guiding principle, the one that you use to lead the firm.
Well, you know, that's probably the other thing that I think makes us unique, and that is that we are a faith-based company. And what that means to us is that we manage our company daily to the best of our abilities to follow the principles and teachings of Jesus Christ. And we are so passionate about the grace of God and the work of Jesus Christ in reconciling us to Him that we're eager to share the good news of salvation with anyone who will listen. We have a prayer meeting every Monday morning to pray for our employees and customers. We have a weekly Bible study in our corporate office that's open to everyone, where we discuss and explore God's Word during our new employee hiring process. We discuss our faith and Christian business practices with every potential new employee. Now, I know Abacus employees come from many different faith backgrounds. We don't require our employees to participate in any religious activities or hold any particular spiritual beliefs, but we believe that our love for Jesus and our desire to see Him glorified is what drives us every day to conduct business with integrity, to invest in the lives of our employees, and to give generously to our community. We believe that these things benefit our customers, our business partners, and our employees, regardless of their spiritual beliefs and practices. And kind of our philosophy is we work as hard as we can every day for His glory, and when we leave at the end of the day, we know that whether we win business or lose business, it's really His will and not ours. And this is a change decision that we made almost 3 years ago, and it's really been the best decision we've made for our company.
When you say we, who?
My business partner, the leaders of our corporate staff are we've got some senior folks that have been with us almost since day one, and we've got a spiritual director in our company. He holds an operational role in the company, but his job is to lead our prayer meetings, to lead our spiritual huddles, to really bring those things to the company and to reach out to everyone we can. He, when we go and we deliver Thanksgiving turkeys as a company, you know, he's leading those efforts. So that's what I mean by we. It's the 8 or 10 of us at the corporate office. It's who we are and how we live.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate you being willing to speak about your guiding principle and how it's influenced your firm. I wonder if you could share with us a current challenge that's facing ASG. To that, talk a bit about the steps you're taking to mitigate that challenge.
You know, I think when I think about a challenge, maybe it's not as current, but really probably the biggest challenge we've faced is it was in 2008 during the banking crunch, and we had one of our critical lines of credit pulled, and really were notified by a Dear John letter in the mail. And I'm sure a lot of businesses today are struggling with financing. Without that financing in place, we didn't know if we could consistently make payroll. And really, we knew if we missed payroll, we were in serious trouble. We were growing at a rapid pace. Our receivables were growing quickly, but we needed that immediate cash to fund the company. And really, those challenges, they taught us a lot of great lessons on cash management and helped us to operate the company very efficiently. We obviously survived and value the lessons we learned. And probably the biggest lesson was to find a core business or a core competency and stick with it. Prior to losing that line, we were actively pursuing other lines of business. We were spending valuable resources to develop those lines. We thought we had to be diverse to be successful. And when we were faced with that crunch, we dug in our heels. We really got rid of anything that took our focus off the ball and didn't generate revenue. And we became leaner and really more profitable than we had ever been. And we just decided that we wanted to ensure that we knew exactly who we were, that our customers and business partners knew exactly who we were, and that we focus intently on being the best at what we were the best at.
You're the second guest in 2 days on Critical Mass that talked about when the business was under pressure, they returned to their core, what, you know, their main mission in the business, and how positive that was for the business as far as an outcome. So thank you for sharing that.
You know, we get these ideas as we grow that, I'm doing really well here, but I better try to add this line, or I better try to add that line. I better diversify a little bit. And we were spending a lot of money on things that might work or might not work. And I think, you know, again, it was that tough time that made us realize that just do what we do and do it really well, and we'll be successful.
We look for teaching moments here, and I think you gave our audience a good one with that answer. And so thanks for sharing that, Shane.
Thank you.
How about if we talk about where you see the opportunity for growth facing ASG? If we have you back in the future, in a year or two, where's the firm going to be, and how is that going to impact you?
We've got tremendous upside. This is obviously a proposal-driven industry. Contracts are awarded from 1 to 5 years in length, and sometimes the proposal process can take a year. So our pipeline's full. We've got a lot of proposals we've submitted and a lot that we're working on right now. And we really, we really see 2012 as a year where we could be talking next year and have 250 employees. That's a real possibility. So, where that leaves myself now is really just trying to get better at what I'm doing. I recently heard a quote that says, you're a successful entrepreneur when you are constantly incompetent. And that's kind of where I feel I am sometimes. So just, talking to people that have run 150 and 200 employee companies, which is where I've never been and where I'm going now, I think that's really going to be some of the keys to our success. That's kind of led me to really look to investing in a peer group where I can find those folks.
As you know, the show is really based on a foundation of belief about the collaborative power of CEOs together, business entrepreneurs helping each other. I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I think that's a very powerful decision that you're making for your business.
Well, I tell you, up until recently, I didn't feel like we were big enough, or I was going to get anything from a peer group, or I was really going to be able to give anything to a peer group. And that was probably naive on my part. But I know now that I'm in an area where I've never been before, and I need those people that have been there and done that can tell me, sort of in an objective, not having any ownership and not care if I get mad at them, to really tell me what I'm doing and not doing to be successful.
Yeah, I wrote a book on this subject. You may have heard that earlier or seen it somewhere, but I know that's one of the basic powers of a peer group, is real feedback. And it's surprising how challenging in business it is for the boss, the owner, to get unfiltered feedback from just about everybody in the company. It's harder than it seems, unfortunately.
I mean, those people want to make sure that whatever answer they give is going to be okay for their future. I mean, people are worried about, those day-to-day things about still living their lives. So, I mean, I get it. It makes sense.
That's great. Well, I am excited to hear you say that, and I wish you well on your journey. I think, as I write about in my book, there are some powers that are not obvious and become revealed to the members over time. And one of them is the basic ability that being in that type of a peer process for for an extended period of time, it really does help make the leader a better leader, because you learn how to hear difficult feedback from people who only have your best interests at heart.
Right.
Sorry, I was going to say, how does someone find you online, Shane, if they'd like to learn more about your firm?
Obviously, you've seen my website. www.abacussg.com. They can shoot me an email at at shane.tolver@abacussg.com. I'm always willing to lend a hand, to listen to advice, to talk to anybody who'd want to reach out.
Final question for today here on Critical Mass Coast to Coast. How do you see the environment relative to budget issues and challenges of the federal government and state and local governments? When you sit down with your strategic team and start to look multiple years out, what are you forecasting relative to how it could affect or impact your business?
You know, I think there's a couple of ways to answer that. In the technology services industry, where we are, our particular company is running the IT infrastructure for military hospitals and for medical commands and for, you know, critical operations. We really don't see those type of contracts going away. So part of it is the nature of the business that you're in within government contracting. And I think the other part of it is we are such a small company and such a small piece of the industry that we see them looking at, you know, taking big chunks of the multi-billion-dollar contracts and really pushing more to the small businesses, to the veteran-owned small businesses. So, I mean, it is not something that keeps me awake at all. The proposals continue to come out. In sort of what should be a slow time for us, our proposal team is writing every day and will be working almost through the end of the year. So for our size business, for the industry that we're in, we don't really, that's not something that's keeping us awake.
That is an inspiring answer. I'm glad to hear that from you. And I think it's also what you said, very insightful as well, that at the size of your firm and the size, frankly, of most of the people that listen to Critical Mass Coast to Coast, some of these macro issues really aren't going to affect us because, you know, the size of the market share that we might possess or something is not significant enough that large budget cuts may necessarily filter down. So thanks for that perspective, Shane.
No, yeah. If I lose, you know, 1% of my business, you know, that's a couple of positions. If you know, the big, you know, the 800-pound gorillas lose it, they're really looking at that. So I think that's a key to folks in our size companies in the niche that we serve. So,
final thought, if you would like to read the definitive guidebook on peer groups, I would encourage you to go to Amazon.com and just type in my name, Richard Franzi, or Rick Franzi, R-I-C, and my first book will come up, and it might be something you would find an interesting read.
I will definitely take a look at that, Rick. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk with you today, and I hope that it's been worth your time, and I've said a couple nuggets that might help someone else.
I believe you have, and I do appreciate the time you've put into the interview. Thanks for being a friend of the program, and welcome to the Critical Mass business community.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
Goodbye, Shane.
Goodbye.
Critical Mass Coast to Coast is brought to you, ladies and gentlemen, every Thursday afternoon at 3 p.m., exclusively here on octalkradio.net. If you're listening to the show live right at this very moment, then check your watch, because you have a few minutes until the top of the hour when my business partner, Doug Gefeller, will be hosting his show, and that is Critical Mass, the Coaching Perspective. I would encourage you to keep the station turned on. Maybe get up, get something to drink, or whatever you have to do for a few minutes. But be back here at the top of the hour if you're listening live for my business partner, Doug Gefeller. So this is Rick Franzi, host of Critical Mass Coast to Coast, saying until the next time we have a chance to talk, here's hoping that all your decisions move your business in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, only on octalkradio.net.